Tonight I want to draw your attention back to a passage that we actually looked at on a Sunday morning 4 months ago. It's John chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. And yet what I want to do is approach it from a different point of view. I say that because there's so much in that the first 11 verses that John gives us. If you're not familiar with that, it's where we find John telling us about Jesus and his washing of the disciples' feet. It's a relevant passage for us today because of what continues to go on in our society all around us. What I mean by that is, how often do you see somebody or maybe even remember someone at either one time or another was offended because that person did not receive the recognition they thought they deserved or whatever it may have been for? Or maybe a person who, because of their desire for prominence, refused to take a subordinate position. Not going to do that. I can remember as a kid, those friends and neighbors that would come over and we'd play baseball out in the, we didn't have ball fields except in town, so we played in the pasture. And they'd come over, and if they didn't get picked on the team they wanted to get picked on, they'd go home. If they didn't get to play the position they wanted to play, they'd take their basketball and go home, which meant you didn't have a basketball to play with because they didn't get what they wanted and weren't recognized in the way they thought they should be recognized. Or maybe you know somebody that has received a truly unintentional slight, but you saw them explode. Or maybe they brooded and sulked over it for several days before they finally were willing to even come back and be a part of whatever it was they had been a part of. Maybe that describes you at one time, at some point in the past. And if so, I want you in your mind's eye for just a moment to picture Jesus, Son of God, girded with a towel, down on his knees, or at least one knee, with a pan of water in front of him, prepared to wash the dirty feet of his disciples. Just let that kind of soak in for a minute. Think about that. There are three things that I want you to remember, and we're going to look at each one individually because I think it's brought out in this passage. The first of those is this. Jesus loves those who do not deserve it. The second point that we'll look at is He demonstrated His love for us through His humble service to us. And thirdly, all of us need His cleansing in our lives. Let's go back to the first one. Jesus loves those who do not deserve it. I'll be honest with you, there was something that I had not seen before until I was preparing for tonight. And I ran across something in my reading. But you have to go and compare Luke's gospel account with John's account of this evening's event, the events leading up all the way through to his arrest in the garden. And if you go back to Luke's account, what you find, Jesus is in the upper room eating the Passover meal with his disciples. And there in Luke chapter 22, which is the chapter that records it for us, in verses 17 through 20, something that has been read in our pulpit, preparation for the Lord's Supper, we have the institution of the Lord's Supper. Luke kind of presents us with Jesus doing that. Verses 17 through 20. Then in verses 21 and 22, Jesus indicates to his disciples that one of those who's seated with him at the table is going to betray him. And they begin questioning who it's going to be. But notice this. Two verses after that, verse 24, something happens. Now realize, he's just instituted the Lord's Supper. He's told them that one of them, there's one that's going to betray him who's seated at the table with him. And then two verses later, Luke records this. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Did you get that? He's just instituted the Lord's Supper. He has just told them that one of them is going to betray him. And two verses later, they start arguing over which one of us is the greatest. I think I'm better than you are, John. Well, Peter, I don't know, but I think I'm the best. You go to John's account, and John does not share with us, he doesn't give in his account the institution of the Lord's Supper. But one thing you do find is that in John's account, Jesus washes the disciples' feet before he ever mentions the betrayer. That's not until you get down to verse 21 of John chapter 13, because he says there, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. Now, when you put the two accounts together, what you find is that the dispute among the disciples as to which was to be greatest took place after he washed their feet. After he had finished washing their feet. Now, have you ever stopped to think about that? I missed it. Try to put yourself in his place for a moment. I know he's Son of God, so we can't do that. But put yourself, just think with me for a moment. You've just washed the feet of the 12 men that you have spent 3 years of your life with trying to help them become the men that you're going to pass on this task of sharing the gospel with the world. And yet you know that one of them, Judas, is going to betray you in the next few hours. You know that another one of them, one that you've been closest to, Peter, is going to deny you before the sun even rises tomorrow morning. And you know that all of them, by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, are going to abandon you. How would that set with you? He knew all of this. And yet in spite of this, John makes a statement there in chapter 13, verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved these men to the very end, even though they did not deserve it. Do you realize that we're in the same boat? He loves us in spite of ourselves. We don't deserve it, but he loves us anyway. And when you look at Romans chapter 5, there's something that Paul brings out over there. Verse 8, and I think I've got it up here before. Thank you. I'm not even changing slides. I'm supposed to be doing it. He's doing it for me. Here's the thing. Verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in what? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it, Paul said. We were sinners, but he still died for us. And then two verses later, verse 10, what's he say? I've kind of given you the center of the verse, but he says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. We didn't deserve it. But he did all of this for us anyway. Now here's the second point when you look back at chapter 13. It is this. Christ demonstrated his love through that humble service that night. Have you ever heard the statement, actions speak louder than words? People can say certain things all day long, but until you put skin on it, I'm not going to believe it. Show me. James talked about, show me your faith by your deeds, then I'll believe that you have faith. Jesus' actions on that evening showed his love for those who were unworthy. The task of washing someone's feet was reserved for the lowest of the servants. But Jesus does it. As a matter of fact, 4 months ago I shared this point with you. It is the fact that no superior would wash the feet of a subordinate. You won't find that anywhere in literature outside of Scripture, where a superior washes the feet of a subordinate. But I want you to notice again verses 3 and 4. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Two things are brought out here. I want you to notice the first of those. Knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. All things had been given. Authority over heaven, authority over earth, all that was in existence. The entire universe, including the angelic host, was all put under His authority. Not only that, the second thing, He had come forth from God and was going back to God. He knew, I came from God. I know the glory that I had with the Father before the world was, and I'm going back to that glory. He's the one that spoke it into existence. In the beginning was the Word was with God. And He tells us, John does, that all things came into being through that Word. Nothing came into being that has come into being apart from Him. And so here is the one who controls heaven and earth, the Son of God, the Word of God, God made flesh, and what is He doing? He is humbly stooping down to wash the dirty feet of His disciples. Have you ever stopped to think about what true humility is? True humility. We've got false humility, but what is true humility? True humility recognizes that there is no task that is beneath us when we are doing it for Christ's sake. No task is beneath us when we're doing it for Christ's sake. I've told you once before, it's been many years ago, but I encountered someone out in the community that talked about one of the elders from this congregation that was an elder here several years ago. And the point that person made, they were so impressed that he came into this filthy, dirty house that had rats in it and began cleaning up that house on his hands and knees. That left an impression because that person was doing something, that former elder was doing something for someone in this community. Didn't matter who he was. He was doing it for Christ's sake. True humility requires us to think of others more highly than we think of ourselves. That's what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 2. And thirdly, true humility removes the focus from our rights and our deeds and refocuses upon the needs of others around us. That's what true humility does. It's what Jesus taught us to do. Which brings me to our very last point. Folks, we need that cleansing that Jesus provides in our lives. He washed feet. But there's a truth which the Apostle Paul makes abundantly clear in his letter to the Christians in Rome. You've heard it time and time again. Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I want you to look at the two verses in there for just a moment. Have sinned. Have sinned. It's what's called an aorist active indicative in the Greek. It just past tense. And if I'm okay in my English, it's a past perfect. Have sinned. This happened back here. You sinned. But notice the next verb, fall. Not have fallen, fall. Because of what happened back here, this is where you continually find yourself now. You fall short of God's glory. And you will continue to fall short of God's glory because of that sin until something is done about that sin. You see, just as the disciples' feet remained dirty because no one would wash them, so you and I remain in our sins until they are washed away, until someone does something about our sin. When Peter refused on that night for Jesus to wash your feet, never shall you wash my feet. What does Jesus say? If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Folks, neither you nor I can be a Christian without His cleansing us. We can't just simply call ourselves Christian. We can't simply pretend to be Christians. We don't become Christians until He's cleansed us. So my question for you tonight, for each of us, is do we realize how little we deserve the cleansing which He offers in our lives? We don't deserve it, but He does it for us out of love. God so loved the world, so loved us, that He gave His only begotten Son. But does that love that God demonstrates toward you and toward me, does it humble you? Does it cause you to hate your sin as much as God hates it? Does it cause you to want to have something done about that sin? I hope that it does. That causes me to ask you one other question. Are you willing to come to Him now and seek that cleansing in your own life? If you're not a Christian, that cleansing is offered through the blood of Christ as you were buried with Him in baptism. God calls upon you to acknowledge that His Son is who He claims to be, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He came to bring about your forgiveness through His death on a cross. God also calls you to not only acknowledge that, but to repent of that sin, to say, I don't want that. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that. But He also calls you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. But you know, if you're a Christian here and that sin is still weighing you down, He is faithful and righteous to cleanse us of our sins when we acknowledge those sins before Him. We come before Him in prayer. Lord, please forgive. Help me to start again. Help me to begin anew. And He will do it over and over again. Tonight, if you need to respond to His invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.